Morning. Great to gather together with you this morning. And of course, it is Mother's Day, so I want to begin by right making sure that I join in with hopefully what has been expressed already to you moms, and will be throughout the day, and that is Happy Mother's Day. You know, I guess really it's just an obvious point, but boy, moms, what a calling and what a blessing you moms are, and designed by God, Just know that I know kids aren't always the ones to say thank you too quickly or very often, but please know, moms, there's a well done in your future because you are fulfilling definitely a heavenly calling as you minister to your kids. And so, Happy Mother's Day to each one of you. I don't know if there's been a breakfast in your past already this morning, or a barbecue in this afternoon, or something for each of you, but whatever the day holds, and I know moms sometimes it kind of feels like an unsung hero kind of thing, but again, God knows, God sees, and again, there's a well done for each of you. Well, we are traveling through the Bible together. We are in the book of Exodus. We've read in Exodus 16. So turn to that second book of the Bible and go to chapter 16 this morning. The ushers will come forward to make sure that you have a Bible to study with us. That way you'll see that it's not man's opinion, but it's God's Word. And so if you need a Bible, raise your hand. And if you need that Bible to keep, it's all yours, of course. Take it. Enjoy it. Wear it out. No charge for it. But for all of us, let's turn now to Exodus chapter 16. Just to mention, Kathy is not here with us this morning. Kathy has spent the last couple of days speaking to a group of women at a place, of all places, Missoula, Montana. She's been up there with the snow-capped mountains around her and all, and she is right now winging her way back home, but that's where she's been, and I think I'll make it. I'm hanging on there. She's going to be in, she'll be in, after church is over today, I zip over and get her at the airport, and then, everything's back to normal and she's home. But God, she says God really blessed to get together there in Montana, but excited to see her get back and celebrate Mom's Day here with us. And so that's where she's at today. Ladies, what's coming up this weekend, by the way?
Retreat.
I'm sorry, what is it? There you go. I hope you're more excited about it than that. Let's get in, because it promised to be awesome. And again, as Tim said, ladies, if you're not signed up and ever been to one, go check it out. Go check it out. I always say, if you go to something like that and don't get blessed, if you feel like God ripped you off, you let me know. You come back. But I've never had anybody come back and say, yeah. No, the Lord is faithful. He'll meet you there. And it's a good opportunity just to get apart from things and see what God would have. So get signed up if you haven't yet. And may the Lord bless this coming weekend for all you ladies that are going. Exodus 16, verse 1, as we're going to jump in. Exodus 16, verse 1. Is everybody with me? Good, because I'm hoping you guys will. Remember, this is teamwork, right? You guys understand that, this teaching thing? This is teamwork. I teach, you take in, we interact, and you smile, you nod. You don't throw anything, nothing hard, hopefully. Okay, good. Chapter 16, verse 1. And they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." As we begin to think this morning a little bit about what God would have for us from this, I just want to set before us a sort of example, maybe somewhat obvious, but helps us just begin to think about it. I'm going to hold up here two items. I've got them in baggies, so I don't totally thrash them, but hold up two items before us this morning. The first one is a slice of bread taken from the pantry at home. The second one is, I've got them in these things to find them and keep them handy, is a $20 bill. So a slice of bread, a $20 bill. Now, because I'm about to kind of use this to get us thinking, I understand that you might say, okay, he's trying to trick us here or something. So I know you may not want to answer this right off the bat, but if this were a straightforward offer, let's say a friend of yours, a family member, let's say somebody came to you and said, would you rather have, you can have one of these, would you rather have this single slice of bread, would you like a slice of bread, or would you like this $20? Now, again, right now you say, well, he's trying to trick me, so I'm not sure. But I'm not. But I just want to make a point, get us thinking about something. But let's say someone came to you, you trusted, and they said, what would you rather have? Well, most of us, I would think, would probably say, well, I'll take the $20. I mean, I can always take the $20, buy a whole loaf of bread, and have a bunch of money left over. Well, Nowadays, not a bunch of money, but you have some money. You have some money left over, but you'd probably take the money. That's a reasonable decision most would make. But now, again, another obvious point maybe, but just to help us think about this, I would like to suggest that choice, which would seem like a reasonable choice in our current circumstances, but I could change our circumstances where very quickly your choice would change. If I were to take us and place us out in a totally desolate wilderness somewhere, no Vons down at the corner or anything like that, I put you out in the middle of nowhere, and it's been a couple of days, and I give you this choice again. Hey, would you like some bread, or would you like this green printed paper? I think pretty soon your decision started to be, give me the bread. I can't eat that. That's no good. I need something to sustain my life. Give me the bread. Our circumstances would change our choice, wouldn't it? Well, our circumstances can do just that. And if we were in that wilderness place, one thing would very quickly begin to dominate our thoughts. And that was the condition that the Israelites find them in as we come to chapter 16. And their exact condition, really, is found at the end of verse 3. Look at verse 3 again. What does it say in the last sentence? For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. That's what's foremost on their mind. Their circumstances have brought them to an awareness of their condition, and they're hungry. Now, God, of course, hasn't done that. He's not bringing them this far to bail on them now. But they are complaining, as they tended to do a lot of. But they express this. They are hungry. But once again, we see that God sets this down not just as some kind of a dusty history lesson, but they are an example of us over and over again, and this is no exception. For we're going to find that just as they are hungry, so are we. Now, to that you might go, yeah, Pastor, I am pretty hungry. I skipped breakfast, and man, I hope you get done in a hurry, because I'm looking forward to a donut. Well, I'm not talking about that kind of hunger this morning. For them, it is physical hunger. But their condition, just like all of us, in that we are also hungry, but their example points to our spiritual hunger. And every person has a spiritual hunger. We are created with a need, a hunger, and that can only be satisfied one place. What is God's answer for their hunger? Look at verse 4. We haven't looked at it yet. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. I've called our time together this morning based on God's response to their and our need. I've called our time together this morning the bread from heaven. Let's pray. Father, in all they're about to consider, I pray, Lord, help us. So many things compete for that spot that belongs to you. And even now our attention is so divided by the things of our day and all. Help us, Lord. Help us to hear from you. You are that one that the only one that can really meet these heartfelt needs. And so I pray, Lord, this morning, whether it be in just a reminder, maybe a brand new way for some of us, but there would be a understanding and a laying hold of what it is you're offering. And may you find in us a people who truly understand and partake of that bread from heaven every day. Guide us in this time, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read about this bread that God is going to give them. Now, we're not going to read all the chapter. It'd be too long for our time this morning. I encourage you to do so in your own time. I believe you've been much blessed by that. But we're in chapter 16 of Exodus. Go down to verse 13 now. We're going to learn a little bit about this bread that God is going to give them. Verse 13. So it was that quails came up at the evening and covered the camp. In the morning, the dew lay all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? for they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need. One omer," that's a unit of measurement in those days, "for each person, according to the number of persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent." Go down now to verse 19. "And Moses said, 'Let no one leave any of it till morning.' Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and stank." Pretty graphic and to the point. "And Moses was angry with them, so they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need, and when the sun became hot, it melted." And one last verse, go to verse 31. "And the house of Israel called its name manna, and it was like white coriander seed, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey." Manna. Manna actually means, what is it? Because they looked at it and they go, "What is that?" And Moses says, "It's what God has promised you." Now, remember the big picture here. The Israelites are a people who belong to God. They at one time had been in captivity, slaves in Egypt. But God had come and delivered them from their bondage. They are now a people traveling home. Meanwhile, they are pilgrims in a wilderness. They are pilgrims journeying through a hostile environment. And therefore, once again, we see they are an example of us. For does that not describe us as believers? We were once in the bondage and slavery of sin. But Jesus came and set us free. If you received that work of the cross, he set you free from that. He brought you out of slavery. We are all on a pilgrimage home, one day to be home with the Lord. But meanwhile, we're traveling through the wilderness of this life, the hostile environment of this world and its influences and the culture around us. So they're very much just like us. Now, they, in that environment, begin to experience physical hunger. But we're going to see that their hunger they begin to experience is also a representation of the spiritual hunger that every person has. For every person was designed to live in connection with fellowship, we call it, with God. He sent his son to span the gap that sin had caused, that we might come back into why he made us. And we have a need for that. A spiritual hunger is the idea. Each person has that need. And just as everyone needs food, everyone needs Jesus. For Jesus is the bread that we all need. Hold it, Pastor. You just made a leap. You're talking about how we all have needs, yeah, spiritual needs. But all of a sudden you stuck Jesus in there and that he's this bread that we need. Well, that didn't come from me. That's exactly what Jesus himself says. Leave your marker right there. Put your bulletin there because we're going over the New Testament. Go to John, the fourth book of the New Testament. Go to John chapter 6. And we'll see why I say that Jesus is the bread that we need. Go to John chapter 6. Now again, I'm going to read just portions of it because of time. If you have some time later, I encourage you, read the whole chapter. You'll get blessed. But look at John chapter 6. Let's go to verse 26. The setting is Jesus has just fed the 5,000. He'd multiplied those to him, the people, and fed them and all. Now they've come to follow him and all. And it says in verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Therefore they said to him, What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Let's pause right there. Here we see that they make a direct reference to the very event that we just read about in Exodus, that occasion in the wilderness where God began to feed them that manna every day. And so they make reference to that manna. And they're saying how, well, our fathers ate manna in the desert. God fed them. What are you going to do for us? Is what they're basically saying. Well, now look at verse 32, the next verse. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread. In other words, God gave you the bread. That wasn't Moses. Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. Hey, sounds good to us. Give us some of this. And Jesus said to them, now notice, he's putting it right out there, no doubt. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He's talking about spiritual hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. Because of time, go down to verse 48. I am the bread of life. So there's no doubt he's telling us, he's talking about himself. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. And lastly, verse 58. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your father ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. So I've tried to read some verses we pulled out to drive home this point. Now, see, if Jesus is expounding on a portion of the Old Testament, what better Bible teacher can we have? And it behooves us to listen to the application. He's telling us that wasn't done just for you to think about. Oh, it's kind of interesting. No, it was an example, a type of which he becomes the fulfillment of. So what do we see here? He says directly, the manna, it points to Jesus. Now, first of all, of course, there's an obvious application here in terms of salvation. Jesus puts it right out there in this. He said, you must eat of him to live. But he describes that living throughout here also. Again, we read part of it. You read it later. Eating means, when you eat something, what? What do? You take it in. You assimilate it. And it becomes part of you, and you become part of it and all. And that's the idea. To be saved, you must take in Jesus. You must receive the work of the cross. You must heart invite him in. Surrender to him. You take him in. That's the idea. You believe on him is the idea. Heart believe on him is the idea here. That's the first obvious application. Salvation comes only through Jesus. Eternal life's in him. You must do it if you haven't done it. But now go back to the Exodus text. I'd warned you to put a marker there. Go back to the Exodus text. Because there's a second application here on this idea of the manna that I believe the Lord would have us consider this morning. For you see, these Israelites are already his children. They already belong to God. So do you, if you're a believer. But they found out something. And it's something I believe we're to focus on this morning. They found out that in their case, they had a need, a hunger in their life's journey through this wilderness, through our experiences. They found out we have a need if we're going to be strong and maintain ourselves and all. They had a physical hunger is the idea. They needed daily bread in their wilderness experience. Again, the same for us. And Jesus states clearly, he is our wilderness bread. Now, did you notice? There was nothing in their environment that could meet that need. When the Israelites looked around, there were no orchards of apples. There were no fields of corn around them. There was nothing to be found by looking around on the horizontal that could meet their need. There was nothing to be found around them to meet their need. The same is true for us on the spiritual level. See, it's all a type of us in our journey. There is nothing in our wilderness, nothing in this environment, nothing in this culture that will spiritually sustain us. There's a lot of things that would claim to be able to do that. A lot of things beckon for that place, compete for that place in our lives. Go here, do that, accumulate this, have this experience, be with that person. Oh, and it will satisfy. But if you're very old at all, you've learned that, you know what, it's all a lie. It's not out there. There's nothing around me going to fill that Jesus-sized space. There's nothing going to meet that hunger, that loneliness, that all that stuff that's in there. He designed it that way. It's not found by looking around, only by taking in God's bread from heaven. That's the only thing that's going to satisfy us spiritually. Now, again, that it's true for salvation. Only Jesus can save us. But it's also true of the believer's life. The Lord saved us that we might live our lives in fellowship with Him. He's real, and He wants you to know Him, personally experience His work in your life. So I'd ask you not to be answered out loud, but just as we consider this morning, we're on this wilderness journey. We recognize that we have a need every day. We have this hunger. But I would ask you, what have you been trying to live on, Christian? Circumstances do provoke an awareness of spiritual needs, spiritual strength, something to sustain me at that level. Now again, you're saved. We're not debating that right now. If you receive Christ, you're saved. But when it comes to your daily sustaining yourself, are you starving spiritually, if the truth be told? And because of it, every day you end the day wondering, was that all there is? What's going on? I'm struggling so much. God in His love knows the need, and He's sharing this with us today. Remind us, He doesn't want us to have to live like that. So I ask you, what have you been eating spiritually? What believer are you, as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, what do you daily feed yourself that you might have experienced what He'd have for you? Are you a cotton candy Christian? You know, you go out to the fairgrounds or whatever, and you give the kids a thing of cotton candy, and they're just, that's great. But if you fed your kids cotton candy all day, every day, only that, at some point, you may not get the mom's best award, or dad's either. You say, wait a minute, they can't sustain life on that. Oh, it's sweet and tasty, you know. Oh, yeah, good to the taste buds, maybe, but it doesn't sustain us. It's not what our bodies really need. But too often Christians try to live on the cotton candy of emotionalism, experiencing. Have you heard about the new thing over here? Oh, there's some guy doing that. Oh, you ought to go hear this, see that, have this experience. Oh, they really pump it up over there, and everybody runs over there. Ooh, isn't that spiritual? That was anointed. No, it was emotional. It worked you up, but did it feed your soul, your spirit? Or are you a cotton candy Christian? Maybe you've been trying to feed yourself spiritually, sustain yourself on a Christian lifestyle. And so you have Christian music around the house. You got the Christian CD in the car. You got all these Christian things going on. Again, they have their place, but they're not going to feed the real need. Maybe you're trying to feed that place, sustain yourself on fellowship with other Christians. And so you kind of, you talk to everybody, you call everybody, and then you hang out with, I only hang out with Christians, and we only do Christian things. And you do all that stuff. Maybe you're someone who's trying to feed yourself spiritually on church attendance, thinking somehow by going to church, that will satisfy the hunger of your soul, of your heart. Are those things the basis of our fellowship with our Savior? Is your walk with God just basically something to do with church attendance or something? Again, those things all have their place. They're fine in their place. But they aren't the manna that will satisfy the hunger that we all have. And if you try to live on any of those other things, you will struggle spiritually. They're not, well, I went to church twice, and I've been really good all week, and I listen to only Christian music. Yeah, fine. But that's not the manna that you need. What is the manna that satisfies the hunger? What did Jesus say? It's Him. Him and only Him. Yes, He's really there, and He wants you to have an ongoing, abiding relationship with Him. For only in Him is there fullness of joy and all those things He would desire. But there has to be. And that's the awesome thing. He's offering that to us. We can have a daily close fellowship with Jesus. Now, it's not just talking about it that's going to do it. It's not just studying about it. You will be no different for having heard this today if it stops here. Just hearing me teach this doesn't satisfy. If you and I don't go out and do it, we'll have gained nothing from this. I can talk about a juicy steak all day long, but that doesn't satisfy my hunger. I got to partake of it. I got to eat it, don't I? Same for you. We can study how to cook. We can go to the grocery store. But those things in themselves won't satisfy our physical hunger. And just talking about this, and we all agree to it. We all nod our head. Oh, yes, this is good, Pastor. I'm glad you're talking. It will profit us nothing unless we actually do it. I must take food in and I must fellowship with Him daily. See, that's what Jesus is talking about in Revelation 3:20. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me." Right on, Pastor. I remember that verse. I heard it at an altar call. I went forward at it. I remember that verse, that Jesus stands at the door of our heart and knocks. And if we open up, He comes in. And a lot of people use it as an evangelistic passage, and that's appropriate because Jesus does knock on the door of our heart. He wants to come in. And if you invited Him in as your Savior, He did it. He took you up on the offer. He came in. But that's not the context. It's spoken in Revelation there to the church. And it's not that you have to receive Jesus as Savior every day. You do that once, if you meant it, it's done. But He's saying daily He wants to fellowship with you. He says He stands there every day. From the moment my feet hit the floor, my Savior stands there and says, "Dale, I want to fellowship with you today. I want you to walk with me today. Come on, I want you to be aware of and listening to and just abiding in me today." That's what He wants for us. That's the big deal here. He offers it. We can have that. Our manna, our heavenly manna, our Jesus, He offers Himself. What an offer. Who are we that He'd be mindful of us? But He loves us and wants us to be connected to Him and walk with Him daily. And we miss out when we don't. Look at verse 4 of chapter 16 in Exodus. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I rain down bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not.'" You'll notice, He provided it, but they did have their part, didn't they? He doesn't say, "Open your mouth wide, step outside, open up, and I'll just drop it straight in the chute." No, He's going to put it right out there for them, but they get to go gather it up for them and for their household, moms and dads. And they brought it in and distributed inside the tent to their family. But if their hunger is going to be satisfied, they did have their part. And their part was what? To gather up the manna. Well, how do I gather up the manna of the Lord? How am I going to avail myself of this? A couple things to consider. First of all, through the Word of God. Through the Word of God, I come to know the God of the Word. He gave us this so we could know Him, His love, His attributes, His character. And so we need to daily have a commitment to be taking in the Word of God. It also is part of this bread of life. Deuteronomy 8:3, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from God. So we need to consistently be in His Word if we're to have close fellowship with Him. Now, is it possible to read the Word but not gain this fellowship? Of course. You could do it rotely, mechanically. Jesus got on the religious leaders one time. He said, you guys search the Scriptures and you think that in them you have life. He said, but it's they that testify of me, and you won't come to me that you might have life. So the Word of God is the bread, but it points to the capital W Word, the Word, Jesus. And then we need to take Him in. And through the Word of God, we do that. It is part of that manna that He gives us. Secondly, how else do we gather this manna? If manna is Jesus, if manna is relationship with Him, how else do we gather Him, His promises, all those things that are wrapped up in Him, with fellowship with Him? Through prayer, of course. If I'm going to be close to you, I'm going to talk to you. We're going to have a fellowship together. And we're going to be close to the Lord. We spend time with Him. And that's the idea. It's through prayer. Spending time alone with Jesus will nurture this fellowship that He might be the manna we need, the relationship we need for that hunger of this life. The third thing to remember, and how else do we gather up this manna? How else do we gather a close, ongoing fellowship with Jesus? By a sensitivity to and a yielding to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit's not just a kind of a vapor that floats around. Holy Spirit's not just a good warm feeling that God sends out, emanations. No, Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is an actual person with a capital P, the third person of the Trinity. But wonder of wonders, when you invite the Lord in, the Holy Spirit comes in. Not so that He could ride in the back seat, but He wants the steering wheel, and it's to our benefit to let Him. For we're in that place. He leads us in knowing Him. He opens the Word to us. He reveals things about Jesus to us. See, it's the Spirit that helps us really grab hold of the Word. It's the Spirit that points us to Jesus, teaches us about Him, all those things. And I believe it's in living with a lack of sensitivity to or a surrender to the Holy Spirit that is at the root of why many believers come short of all God has for them. Saved, yes, but the Holy Spirit is back there in the trunk or something as you drive on through your day. And then wonder, though, why didn't feel very met today? And because we're not gathering it by nurturing that surrenderedness. It is a great problem in the church today that this self-consciousness, this self-awareness, this self-preoccupation, and what's everybody going to think of me? And we need to abandon ourselves to the Lord and abandon ourselves to the Holy Spirit's work. And we'll find how that sustains us in this wilderness journey. Well, how often were they to do this gathering that was to meet their need? You know, in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 11, you know this, Jesus taught us to pray this. He said, pray like this. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our monthly bread. You better shake your head no. But we try to do that. Lord, can I just store some up? No, it's give us this day our daily bread. Not give us this week our weekly bread. Not give us this month our monthly bread. It's our daily bread. They were to gather daily, except for the sixth day they were to gather, so they rested on the Sabbath. They got 2 days worth on that sixth day to provide on the seventh. But it's God's design that they were to daily go out and gather it up. And in our text this morning, what did it say happened when they tried to store it up? When they tried to store it up so they wouldn't have to go out and gather it up the next day, what happened? It says it got worms in it and it stank. No storing up. I'll go to retreat next week and that'll get me through a year. I'll be fine. But you know what? You'll start stinking. Your relationship with the Lord will start stinking. Hey, I'm just... It's in the Bible. But it's a very graphic way of putting it. You start wondering what's going on. God doesn't want us to... It can't be stored up. And He wants it to be fresh and ongoing is the idea. Well, why? Why set it up that way? Because He wants us to understand we need Him every day. And He is available to us every day. That's what's awesome. He wants us to be a fresh, ongoing relationship with Him. How many here, now don't answer, don't answer out loud. But how many here really would want your husband or your wife or someone, you know, you love or the kids or something say, you know, to say, well, I mean, they say they love you and then, you know, well, I'll see you next year. Then come back, I'll see you next, well, you know, you don't make contact once every 10 years or something. You wait a minute, you love me, I think you'd call me, I think we'd want to talk, spend time together. So the challenge, because that's what He wants. He wants us to spend time. He wants us to be a fresh, ongoing thing. Look in our text, chapter 16. Look at verse 21. So they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need. And when the sun became hot, it melted. See, they had to gather it early in the morning, or it would get burned up. The heat would melt it. We face a lot of heat in our trials. A lot of circumstances and pressures that come along. Heat. And we need to make sure that we... See, since if they laid in their bed, in their tent, and said, I don't want to go outside. I'm going to sleep in. I'll go out there this afternoon and get some. They'd be hurting. They'd go out later on in the afternoon and it'd be gone. Lord, I don't want to spend time. I'll do it next week. Or, you know, we try to store it up. Doesn't work. We put it off. It's to our own detriment. But instead, what's the idea here? If you knew you had to get it first thing in the morning or you wouldn't have anything all day, it would become a pretty high priority, wouldn't it? I'm getting out there and getting that manna before it's gone. It'd be a high priority for you and your family to do. How high is your priority to spend time with Jesus? Now, we all struggle. We all fall on that. But again, it's to our detriment. You ever notice that? When you're praying, things seem to go a lot better than when they're not. Now, don't answer out loud, but for those of you who are married, you ever notice how much different your mate looks when you haven't prayed for a few days? All of a sudden, he's really bugging you. You know, when you're praying, it's like, oh, cool, you know, hey, we're all sinners, saved by grace, we're trucking along. All of a sudden, you slack off prayer for a few days, and oh, man, he really bugs me. Look how he's doing that. Why does she have to do it? And it's not the mate, it's the kids, it's the job, you know, the employers, employees, something. What looked okay yesterday because you spent some time with the Lord first, all of a sudden today is really bugging you. I wonder what changed. Because I didn't take time for the Lord. And we get our eyes off and start looking around and all of a sudden I'm looking to others to try to fill that spot. And you're not doing it, so it's your fault. And we wonder what's going on. And so He wants us to understand that that's how He designed us to be. It's got to be a priority. Jesus said, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things be added to you. Seek first the Lord. He'll take care of the other things. Make it a priority is the idea. So in all of this, what's the idea? God is nurturing a daily dependence upon Him. Because it's how He designed us, and it's what is best for us. Now, do you remember what He said? He said He was giving them this way back in verse 4. He said, He's going to do all this that I may test them whether they will walk in My law or not. Testing them. To see whether they're going to walk in My law. He's not talking about what we tend to think of when we say the law. They haven't gotten the Ten Commandments yet. They're not out Mount Sinai yet. So what's he talking about? This law, two things. Do it daily. Do it daily and do it twice on the sixth day. That was basically it. I'm giving those two guidelines, those two rules, those two laws. We come daily, except for that sixth day, gather two, but otherwise do it daily. So what's the real point of that? Will you travel depending on me, he says. You want to know, will they travel depending on him? So he asks the same of us. Will you travel depending on him? Will you trust him? He is faithful to supply all our needs on a daily basis. But now, will we live like it? Will we take him up on the offer? What will every day find us doing? So what's the lesson here? Dependency upon God for that which sustains us. And it centers on a fellowship with the manna, the bread of life, Jesus. And that's a part of his word, prayer, the Holy Spirit. That's all part of that package. When we spend time with him, our needs are filled, and so the world will lose its attraction. But when we stop that, the jaw of the world becomes stronger. God brings these Israelites to the place where they become acutely aware of their hunger. Their circumstances make them aware of their need. It causes them to look up. This morning, is that you? Have circumstances brought you to a place where you're acutely aware of your need, your spiritual need, the ache of your heart, the strength you need, the wisdom you need, the comfort you need, whatever it might be on that deeper level? Have your circumstances brought you to where you're aware of that? It's by design. But now, where will you look to get it met? What will you do about it? What did God do about their need? When they cried out and said, "We're hungry," what did God do? He said, and he got angry at them and killed them. No. I'm just making sure we're all awake. You've been good students. You've been here a long time. I got to keep you into this thing. No. What's he do? He says, no. He sent bread from heaven. He designed all this. So what does he do when you are aware of your need now? Is he mad at you? What's wrong with you? No. He sends bread from heaven, Jesus. For your salvation, if you haven't received it, make sure you do it. And for your ongoing, to sustain you, sustain us, strengthen us, guide us, all those things, that's in it. Daily, he sent them manna. Daily, he offered what they needed. Again, the same is true for us. He offers us a daily, close, intimate relationship with him. All we have to do is receive it. Let me say this as we get down there on time, and you're being great students, but let me just, maybe this will help drive home the point. And hopefully get us excited about it. You know, around our house, well, I'll phrase it this way. We often have the grandkids over to our house. We have 5 grandchildren, and they come over frequently. And oftentimes, they'll spend the night for a time over with Grandma and Grandpa. Good stuff. I get to play, and Kathy does all the work. I can't beat it. But as part of that, I will say this. If I were to have any of the our youngest, the newest, she couldn't talk to you about this. She's too little. But if I had any of the other 4 grandkids here right now, and I said to you, when you come over to stay, and I asked them this, especially when they get up in the morning and spend the night, there's something they always ask for, something they're always excited about, and it's Grandma's hot, fresh bread. See, Kathy bakes bread for us. We rarely do ever buy a loaf of bread. She breaks our bread. And the kids love it when it first comes out. You've had them, good stuff. And they love her hot. Do you agree with that, Tim? Jess is going, yeah. See, she knows Jess. That's our son and daughter-in-law back there. And they're just going, yeah, they know it. And the kids talk about it. They come in the house a lot of times. They'll walk in, Grandma, I got your hot, fresh bread. And so she'll bring it out, slather it on some stuff for them, whatever they're after. And they sit there and, you know, and then, what do you want for breakfast? They'll name their things, but somewhere in there is, add some of your bread. I want some of your bread, Grandma. See, they're excited about it. They look for it. They don't go, oh, man, I got to eat some of that yummy, hot, fresh bread. That's a bummer. No, they're excited about it. Are you excited about the bread from heaven? Oh, I got to spend time with him. We get to partake of the bread of heaven. He offers himself. He is that manna, that bread. Think what that means. That's the awesome thing. Jesus offers him. I'm going to invite the worship team up. You've been great students. You've had a lot to take in right now. But like I said, it will do us no good, profit us nothing if we don't go out and do it. So for you and I both, the challenge is daily he offers himself. Daily he says, come on, partake of me. I am the manna. I will sustain, strengthen. I will meet that need. Are you aware of your need today? Do you realize you've been trying to live on yesterday's relationship with Jesus? Is it time to get your daily spiritual life back on track? Let me read something to you. Most of you put your Bibles away now. Somehow, whenever I say worship team up, it means put Bibles away. I don't know. But let me just read this for you. Later on in verse 35, we read this. And the children of Israel ate manna 40 years until they came to an inhabited land. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. Think about that. From this one, they're 1 month out at this point. They're 1 month out from leaving Egypt. They become hungry. God said, okay, I'll feed you. I'll feed you every day. I'll give you this manna. And he gives them manna every single day, week, month, year, for 40 years from that point until they arrive at Canaan. Every day faithful. Every day, except for that 6 day together for the seventh. But you get the point there. Every day providing for their needs on their wilderness journey. And it's the same for us. He won't leave. He won't forsake. Always there to offer. Remember, he is the manna. Always there to offer fellowship with him and all that that brings to our lives. They never went without. So it is for us. God is faithful. He provides all our needs. Daily he offers himself. He offers his resources, his strength, his peace, his hope, his wisdom, his comfort, all of it. And so I pray you'll get excited about this. And it'll stir us to more and more daily partake of, eat of, and to give thanks for the manna, the bread from heaven. Heavenly Father, we just are in awe of your love. We thank you for that very fact that you know us. You know us inside out. You made us. And you know the need of our hearts. You made us to walk in this abiding fellowship with you. Thank you. Thank you that we can have it. And like, Lord, like our grandkids get excited about grandma's bread, help us to be excited about the bread from heaven. And may you find us to every day be those who are partakers of, fellowshipping in, resting in the life, the bread, Jesus from heaven. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.